I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Ravichandran Ashwin, one of the main heroes of Sydney, more with bat than ball, said that he cannot remember the last time the Indian dressing room was as happy as they were after the third test the SCG ended earlier today. This, just 2 weeks after India turned around their fortunes from Adelaide with a memorable win in Melbourne. But it was the draw in Sydney that gave them, and for that matter us, far greater joy. I too cannot remember the last time I went through the range of emotions that I did today. The rollicking final day of the test match at the SCG, which began with a high probability of an India loss and ended in an epic draw. I felt everything between exhilaration and misery, but it is now, quite late in the evening as we record this, percolated into a state of permanent exhaustion after having woken up at 4 a.m. daily to cover this match. This is also my sneaky way of telling my co-host, who is also my boss, that I will basically be sleeping through the rest of this week. So please don't expect anything productive from me until the next test in Brisbane begins.
You sound pretty much like you are out in the middle, getting hit by Mitchell Stark and Pat Cummins bowling short stuff at you.
Adrenaline. Man. Yeah, I think we're all feeling it. Anyone who's woken up at four, if you didn't watch this match and the number four triggers off some kind of a warning bell in your head and you think that, you know, it's like matches in Sydney are never played at 4 o'clock in the morning, then you should know that the first day was rained out, which began at five. And then after that, it started at 4:15. So people who had to like write about this match like me, were up by that time. But having gotten that sneaky bit out of the way, and before we discuss the heroics of so many people, Pant, Ashwin, Vihari, Rohit, Gil, countless names.
I have now accepted that this series is one of the great series of our lives. And I'm quite grateful to be able to see this unfolding. And in some ways also quite sad that, you know, this is happening at a time like this when there's limited crowds, when, you know, we are not being able to travel with the team and watch this actually unfold in the stadium. But just incredible. Like, everything is happening, right? In this series, yeah. There's like a horrible collapse, then a memorable win, and like you put it, like, and now an incredible battling draw, which had everything from one incredible, crazy, hard-hitting knock from Rishabh Pant to Ashwin and Hanuma Vihari doing their rescue act while both of them were carrying injuries. And this is a team that's missing about half its first choice members who are unavailable for various reasons. Virat Kohli came back in the middle of the series for the birth of his first child, and Virat and Anushka had a daughter today. In fact, as this was the match was going on, so wonderful news for them, and many congratulations.
Excellent.
To the new
parents. Can he come back for Brisbane then?
Well, no, unfortunately, because of the quarantine rules, he can't. But you had Virat Kohli missing. You had, almost entirely your frontline bowling attack missing. Before even the first test happened, you had Ishant Sharma out. Then you had Mohammad Shami out in the first test. Then you had Umesh Yadav out. And so it's crazy. You've got a debutant. You've got one bowler who's only one test old. and a spate of injuries through the team, yep, through this match itself. Hanuma, pulled his hamstring. He was limping. He could barely walk. Ashwin, his wife tweeted later after the match got over that he, in fact, woke up with such a bad back spasm that he could hardly tie his own shoelaces.
Yeah.
And he was out there facing that incredible barrage from one of the finest bowling attacks in the world right now and, you know, possibly in the history of the game, targeting everything at him. And he was out there defending it, taking it on the chest, getting hit on the ribs, getting hit on the shoulders, in the stomach, everywhere. Right? Like real fire in Babylon stuff. So on and so forth. And you had Ravindra Jadeja, of course, watching all of this with his dislocated thumb, strapped up and inside a glove. And he was so hurt that he couldn't even peel a banana. You had Navdeep Saini, we could see from in the dressing room, peeling a banana for him to eat. But he was ready to come out in the middle
Had
to. Yeah, but he was ready to come out if he had to.
And first he didn't,
but you know, it was incredible. And Rishabh Pant, of course, played that fiery, crazy storm of an innings with an elbow injury that kept him out from the field in the Australian second innings. So overall, half the team missing, another third of the team injured, and you still pull out a draw like this against a side like Australia with the bowling attack that they have right now.
Yeah, epic. Man. Epic, as we said right in the beginning. Madness. You raised some really important points there. I want to touch upon a couple of them. One of which, that didn't cross my mind before you spoke, which is just the range of what we've seen during this test series, right? I know we're supposed to speak about Sydney and we'll come down to it shortly. But, you know, in a series where we've been 36 all out or 36 for 9, our lowest ever score. And then on the verge of chasing down 407, which would have been our highest ever chase in test cricket, when Pant was batting. That's a really good point, I think. And the other one being, of course, the spate of injuries, you called it, right? We've had people walking away after every single test match, but it really showered down on us in this particular one in Sydney where, Ashwin, I started with a quote of his. I would also like to add one more where he was basically asked by Shane Warne after the test match, about Jadeja's injury, if there were any updates, and also on Hanuma's thigh and his hamstring injury. And Ashwin cracked this really wry smile on his face and he said, "I have a feeling when we go to Brisbane," because, you know, the turnaround time is just 4 days, right? So he said, "I think when we're at the Gabba, Ajinkya is going to walk out onto the field and then just call anybody who's fit to join him."
And he's not wrong. By my calculations,
by my calculations,
they will not even have a 12th man. This is how India is going to go to Brisbane. And look at this incredible thing that's happening with this team right now. Is that despite that collapse in Adelaide and despite all of this, I don't know if there's anybody who feels that India are going to be sitting ducks at Brisbane.
Precisely.
Despite the injuries, you know.
Even if
Rahane has to step out on the field and call the first 10 other people that he sees who are fit, even if we see another debutant in this, maybe Natarajan, God knows, but even then, we are assured that there will be a fight. And
but
that's,
you know,
just
Ashwin, very interestingly, pinned this down to the fact that Indians and actually people all over the world didn't play, you know, much cricket in those 6-8 months due to coronavirus, right?
Yes.
So he said their bodies are basically, because of too much rest, they're not able to, you know, cope with all the strain of this test series. But I really think that all these injuries that we're seeing, apart from Ashwin's, because although he did play for the Delhi Capitals, like, you know, he wasn't in a leading role in any such way, but the rest of them were. A lot of them were, apart from, say, Pujara, right?
Mm.
I think it was because of the IPL and the T20 series and the one-day series in Australia and this test series all coming back to back to back to back to back. But anyway, I mean, Ashwin explained it in a slightly different way, which I thought was... Just a way to perhaps circumvent the IPL issue, especially because it's going to turn into a longer tournament before we go to England later this year in August.
Right, absolutely. And I think it's fair enough to say that it must be very difficult to keep your conditioning up if you have no games to play. And, you know, and for a very large part of the time, you couldn't even go to the grounds and you have to stay in your home and train there. And so I think that it's very difficult at that level to have the kind of conditioning you need to go through a season of cricket. And, you know, the injuries were bound to happen, though, of course, a lot of these injuries are because of the fiery Australian bowling.
Of course.
So those injuries you couldn't have done anything about, really. But Ashwin clearly has a lot of interesting things to say all the time. In fact,
always.
I don't know if you heard this stump mic.
So eloquent. Yeah.
I know he should take more press conferences. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Did you hear a stump mic exchange with Tim Payne, which was like really crazy? Because, you know, when the bowlers were really going at Ashwin, Payne was from behind the stumps also having a go at him, you know, going very hard the Australian way of sledging and saying all kinds of things like, you know, nobody in your own team likes you. How many IPL teams want you and things like that. But Ashwin was very calm. I mean, and he gave it back to him. He said, okay, you know what, Payne, you know, you come to India for your next tour and maybe your career gets over there. And he held up play as well. And he said, you know, I'm not going to bat till you shut up. And
he kept pulling away, right? Like Payne was forced to shut up a little bit.
Yeah.
And there was also an exchange in Tamil with Hanuma Vihari, which will be a segue into our next section, which is like finally, you know, where we start talking about this day specifically, day five. We'll start with Ashwin and Vihari, and my segue is basically also a stump mic conversation that was caught where Ashwin was speaking to Vihari, who speaks Telugu, but you know, they were having a conversation in Tamil, and Ashwin told him in Tamil to basically play according to the bowler that you're facing. Right. Also crazy stuff like, even if Lyon really tries to bring the, you know, his drifter in, it's not going to come. And all of this was said in Tamil. But the main one was, you know, when he said, I'm sorry, I'm going to reveal my terrible Tamil speaking skills over here. But he said, "Aalu paathu valiyaadu," which means see the bowler who you're playing and we will figure it out amongst ourselves. Right. Which they did, because Ashwin ended up playing and, you know, soaking up the pressure from Nathan Lyon's end for a very, very long time. And Hanuma was just absolutely sensational against the Pacers. So was Ashwin. But, you know, he was getting a lot of the steamy, like, you know, the short stuff, which he wasn't really doing well with. He survived, but he wasn't really playing it well in the beginning of the third session. Your take on Vihari and Ashwin and those incredible 200 and whatever balls that they ate up.
Yeah, 258 balls. Absolutely incredible. And I think at one point, Ashwin also in Tamil told Vihari, we'll take it 10 balls at a time.
10 balls.
At one point, he said, play on, buddy, play on. So all kinds of things. So it was great fun. I mean, you know, and it shows you, you know, the kind of team spirit that exists and how beautifully Ashwin, even though he was in pain and he was being targeted and, you know, he was in such a pressure situation, he was still able to mentor Vihari through these innings where they knew they had to make.
In many ways. Yeah.
So it was wonderful to watch that, you know, that kind of the kind of spirit he had and the kind of grit he had to rise above everything and, you know, and then also be able to help the batsman at the other end.
Absolutely.
And incredible grit showed there, you know, the 258 ball stand, and it all brings into very stark relief, and it really leaps out these things that people say that, you know, sometimes in a test match a draw is bigger than a win, or, you know, that old joke about how can you play 5 days of a game and still not have a winner, and, you know, all of those things are, you can see exactly the joy, the thrill of what can happen when you, even in a draw, when you have a true fight back like this.
All right, so they were two, you know, really big and pivotal heroes, if I could say so, in this test match. But India had many. So I think let's start getting down to them now. We have to go back to day four and, you know, day two, when these two guys actually did what they had to do in Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill. These guys look like they've been opening forever. I mean, no one would ever think that they're
you know, like a new opening partnership for India, and the fact that like Rohit has never opened in an overseas test before, or that Shubman is just playing a second test match. How fabulous were they? That stand of 70 in the first innings was our second best in the last 10 years since Sehwag and Gambhir stopped doing what they were doing. And then they got 71 in the second innings. That second innings, by the way, it happened yesterday. We are recording on day five. It's still day five for us here in India. It feels like a year ago.
True. And how beautiful and fluent they were. And both of them look so good playing those shots, right? I mean, the drives from Rohit Sharma, those incredible backfoot punches from Shubman. They, as you rightfully pointed out, they look like they've been opening for years together. And I feel for Mayank Agarwal a bit here because he's obviously been sensational for India as a test opener overseas before this tour started. And hopefully he's going to come in just on his batting prowess somewhere else in the batting lineup. In fact, in the Brisbane test, I don't think there is much choice but to bring him in some point of the in the batting. But you know,
I disagree
those guys,
with that actually, because I think he's an out and out opener.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he's really going to mold himself into a middle order guy or even a top order guy below the opening position this late in his career. He already started off really late.
You could have Gill going down to number one.
Yeah. That's, you know what? Shane Warne echoes your sentiment there because he thinks he's really a number three player. And he thinks Pujara is actually an opener. But what I do think is going to happen in Brisbane is Pant is going to continue to play on. He played his test. But he'll be relieved of his gloves. And Saha will come in as the wicketkeeper. So you've got that extra batsman also in Pant, who will become a specialist. And Saha is quite a batsman himself. He didn't really prove himself in Adelaide and it kind of cost him his place for the Melbourne test. But I think that's what's going to happen. More than, you know, shifting Agarwal up and down the order. As you said, playing him as an opener and pushing a very successful one in Gill back down the order. I don't know. Anything can happen, like you said, right?
Good.
We have a crazy Indian team. Crazy Indian team who, you know, just fit into like the unlikeliest nooks and make things happen. But I do think that's a little unlikely, but we'll wait and watch.
And
quickly,
and just like harking back to previous conversations, isn't this better than anything you've seen like in cricket, like in IPL or T20 or ODI series or whatever? What you have. I mean, this is the stuff, man. This is the stuff.
today, like I said, Rudra, it was just like the whole spectrum of emotions were felt, right? And like I was tearing my hair out, whatever little is left in my head. Like at one point, at another point, I was screaming at the TV, like, you know, when Pant was going after Lyon. And people who were sleeping at that hour next door and in the next room in my spouse they couldn't believe what I was going through, right? And it's really hard to explain this to somebody who doesn't care for cricket. But and especially test cricket, right? It's looked down upon by people who don't get even like the shorter format of the game. They don't even think that's exciting. I don't think that's exciting either, but this is really five.
So you had,
So
you had the openers doing the job, right? Putting up this wonderful opening partnership.
Absolutely.
Putting up more runs than they did in the previous innings, and then you had, and they protected the rest of the order from the new ball, which is very, very important. And you had Pujara coming in, and you
knew I was going to get to him. Yeah. I was going to get to him next. So, Pujara, man. I mean, today he totally stepped it up. Because, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the fact that he made 77 runs. But, you know, Pujara has been quietly chugging along for a very, very, very long time now, right? And I'm not just talking about the fact that, like, he won us the series in Australia the last time around. Who even remembers the fact that he hit a 50 in the first innings of this very test? Like, if day four feels like it happened a year ago because of everything that happened in day five, Day two is another century, right? And yeah, Pujara held his own. He was heavily criticized, even by people like Ricky Ponting, for looking lackluster. I think that was his exact quote. But that's who Pujara is, right? Your take?
So this is something I don't understand about this criticism about run rate and things like that. Even coming from cricketers is very strange. So I'm not entirely sure what they want to say when they say the, you know, a batsman is not scoring as fast as he should, because in test match, scoring runs fast is not entirely the point. And you need people like Pujara who are so difficult to dislodge, who will keep on accumulating runs, you know, especially like a day like today. You need somebody like him who gives you that stability, that platform on which, let's say, Pant can go out and start playing the shots that he did. And you need both types, sure, right, in a team. What's your take on it, though?
Yeah. So I have a slightly different one. I don't want to say I completely agree with Ponting, but he's really making a valid point there, right? Because, see, you have to understand that in Australia, and Ponting's, of course, like a number three batsman, just like Pujara, number three batsman in that country never lets the momentum stall. Now, the accusation about Pujara's strike rate, I think, is ingenuine, right? Like, it holds no water. But there is a lot of truth to the fact that he doesn't move the play ahead. Now, he's caught this criticism in the past from this very think tank. Like, Kohli's been quite vocal about it in South Africa in 2018, especially. So has Shastri, right? But right. They kind of like framed this entire, their take on Pujara's slowness into the word intent, which didn't go down too well with anyone actually outside of the dressing room, right? The press didn't like it. The spectators clearly didn't like it. But I think they're all trying to make a common point here, which is on day two. So Australia's made, what, 380 in the first innings? I might be getting this wrong. 340, right? 338. When Pujara walks out to bat as the overnight batsman on day three, you want someone to like kind of like press the charge ahead a little bit. He's not getting out, but he's not scoring runs either, right? So like it's just like it's stalled, like nothing is happening. This is moving day, right? Day three is usually moving day. I'm not saying it because, you know, Pujara batted that way on moving day, but like take the test match somewhere, man. Like do something, right? In the fourth innings, to do what Hanuma Vihari, which was very Pujara like in life, and Ashwin did, was actually taking the match somewhere by blocking. You get what I mean? If you're doing that in the first innings, when the opposition has already kind of set the yardstick for you, and all you're doing is eating up balls, you're not doing anything. I think that's what they're trying to say there. And I agree.
Right, that's a good point. I mean, I didn't think of it that way. So opens up a different meaning to me now. But
I mean, it's actually a very delicate topic in Indian cricket, because you know, the two sides, and there are both sides, are get quite intense about this, right? Like the Pujara backers are like, how can you even say that? They will throw Australia 2018 at you. They'll throw all his, you know, blockathons that have saved us great test matches in the past you. And then the Kohli end of it, you know, the fans who support what Kohli has to say or what Warne has to say now will also get very intense. But I do think both sides make a valid point. Ponting's side makes a slightly more pertinent or relevant point.
But so, what was your key takeaway from this match in the sense of what thrilled you the most?
Day five. But the thing that really got me for 4 days was the fact that we, like you said right in the beginning, and we've been mentioning it all along, we don't have a bowling attack left. I mean, like, you know, our frontline bowlers are all back in India except for Bumrah. But just the way Mohammad Siraj, Navdeep Saini, these guys have played 3 test matches between them, right? And it's all happened in the last couple of weeks. The way they've stepped up, I mean, these guys were supposed to be like proper backups.
Net bowlers, yeah.
They're out there winning us test matches, man. I mean, I'm sorry, this draw seriously does feel like a win. And anyway, Siraj was part of the win in Melbourne. They are winning us test matches. That really stood out for me. But because I'm such a big, you know, Rohit Sharma fan, and you are a Shubman Gill fan that's been established in the past. they completely won me over with the 141 runs they made between them in just two stands. Yeah, that for me would have been the talking point had day five not happened, but day five happened. So what stood out for you apart from day five?
Well, one of the things that stood out for me is the way Mohammad Siraj bowled with Jasprit Bumrah. He really looked just like the way you said Shubman and Rohit Sharma looked like they've been opening for years. You really did not think that Siraj was bowling in only his second test or even back in Melbourne in only his first test. The way he was moving the ball and the kind of line and length and the discipline with which he bowled, the menace that he created along with Bumrah, it was really good to watch. I mean, it's a great thing to watch a new fast bowler coming onto the scene like this.
Good point. And also one more point on Siraj. Very good on him that he pointed out the guys who were racially abusing him from the Sydney crowd.
Absolutely.
You know, it takes some gumption to do that when you're playing your second test match. It's pretty cool that he actually walked up to Rahane on, you know, the end of the third day and told him what was going on, and he brought it to the attention of the umpires, and the umpires did tell Rahane that the next time it happens, catch them as it's happening, right? And again, it was Siraj who copped it. And, you know, this is not like the usual abuse that players cop all over the world from fans, right? I mean, these guys are just happen to be particularly vicious. I'm not talking about all Australians. I'm talking about, you know, a particular kind of fans.
Those five or six people who were there who were doing this, of course,
You know, they're just representative of, they're not even ultras, right? Like, I don't even think they care for the sport the way ultras in, say, Italy do. These guys are prevalent everywhere you go to play test matches in Australia. Everywhere.
Let me correct that by saying that I think that these guys are present everywhere you play test cricket, period. In some parts of the world, I think they are other spectators shut them up a little bit earlier. In some parts of the world, like in India, for example, I think it's just that a lot of players don't understand Hindi. So they don't know what is being said to them, but there's a lot of nasty stuff being said. So these kind of people are everywhere.
Okay, fine. Good point.
You know, it's good to put a stop to it. Absolutely. Good to stand up.
Exactly. So on that note, we have very little left to discuss and just, you know, let this sink in. Let everything that happened in Sydney sink in and count down to the days in Brisbane. We go in there 1-1. Yeah, I mean, I've possibly not looked forward to a test match as much as I'm now looking forward to Brisbane in a very, very, very long time. Possibly Sydney in 2019 because it was also poised similarly, but we had the lead there. Here, for some reason, it just feels like we already have the lead when it's, you know, it was a draw, and I have to keep reminding myself that it was 1-1. So, your parting thoughts, Rudra, before Brisbane, and what do you want to see there?
We have a bruised and battered and injury-plagued team going into venue where Australia never seemed to lose. So, I mean, I cannot... I mean, that is the most exciting underdog story that I can imagine. Incredible. And hopefully we'll see that fight.
Yeah. So, catch you guys in the next episode after the Brisbane test, before which I think I'm going to be just as productive as Prithvi Shaw was in this series.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.